Now we're moving on to a conversation about cloning, the process of making a genetically identical copy of something. Last week, a new finding made worldwide news. Cloned human embryos could produce embryonic stem cells. It's a scientific first that could mean a new frontier in conquering disease. But with all areas of cloning, the discoveries bring controversial issues, questions, and concerns. UC Davis stem cell researcher and associate professor in the School of Medicine, Dr. Paul Knopfler, is in our studio. Welcome, Dr. Knopfler.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the big picture goal with cloning in general to begin with.
So our goal in the stem cell field with cloning is to make embryonic stem cells potentially from every person, but in a non-controversial kind of way, so we wouldn't have to use an embryo. And through cloning, we can use embryos that are made only in the lab, and in that way potentially make cells that could be given to you or me or to anybody as a therapy.
Let's talk about the finding and get back to that question of whether it's even possible that this area is non-controversial. But it was the Oregon Health and Science University researchers. And what was it that they were able to do?
For the first time, what they did is they made embryonic stem cells using cloning. So instead of the typical way of doing this, what we do is, and we don't do this in my lab, but in the field, what we do is we use leftover embryos from in vitro fertilization to make embryonic stem cell lines. But in this case, what they did was quite different. They used people's oocytes, or human eggs, and they transferred the nucleus from one person into that oocyte and, in effect, made an embryonic stem cell line sort of custom-made for that person. So there was no conception, no fertilization. This was all done just in a lab. So it's very different.
The work actually started with monkeys, is that right?
That's correct. And monkeys, their developmental biology, their stem cells are very similar to humans. And so there's much we can learn from the research on the monkeys.
So tell me specifically what was done with the embryos then to grow them.
Right. So that's an important point. So once they generated these embryos, which had never been done before successfully, they put them in a dish in a lab, and what happened was the embryonic stem cells grow out. And what you have then is an immortal cell line that can produce any of our 200 different kinds of human stem cells or differentiated cells that we then can use therapeutically, say for a heart attack or a neurological disorder. So these cells are really powerful.
Why did it work this time? What was unique in the science?
The researchers have been studying, as you said, the process in monkeys for many years, and they learned some important lessons there. And they used a trick actually involving caffeine, which interestingly with people, you know, makes us hyper. But in the case of these embryos, it actually slows them down, because one of the pitfalls in the past was the embryos would try to develop too fast, and that actually would make them fail. And so it's interestingly, the caffeine treatment actually slowed the process down in a good way and made it work for the first time.
So let's just try to track the dot to dot in a very simple way. So do you start with donor cells or do you start with the egg? What's the beginning?
You start with both, and you have to have human eggs, which is a whole nother ethical area, is how do you obtain these human eggs? And the compensation for that is actually quite controversial, and there's a bill in California now pending to raise the compensation for women who might donate eggs, and that is actually a very controversial bill. So once you obtain those human eggs, you get cells from anybody. You can get them from me or you or really anybody, and those are just ordinary cells, say, from our skin, and you take the nucleus from those cells, and you take the egg cell, which has had its nucleus removed, and you bring them together. So in essence, what you've done is you've created an egg that has your DNA or my DNA, and then they give it a little electric shock, and it sometimes starts to develop into a normal, seemingly normal embryo. And then you have sort of a fork in the road. You can either make an embryonic stem cell line, or the big worry is someone may adapt this technology and implant that embryo into a host mother, and then see if it will develop into an actual person. And so that's a quite different kind of cloning that we're talking about. That's more like Star Wars cloning, where we're duplicating people. And so that's the biggest ethical concern, I think, with this technology.
It's the brave new world again from
coming
1932.
True. Yeah.
I am sure that at the beginning of this, you said non-controversial.
And
I don't see where there's non-controversy about this.
It is. I may have misspoken a bit. It's highly controversial. And there's there's one aspect to it, which again is the possible making of actual people who are clones. That's very controversial, and I'm actually opposed to that. There's also the fact that no matter how you generate this embryo, whether you use in vitro fertilization or this new cloning technology, to get the embryonic stem cells out of it means the end of that embryo. And some people feel that that is actually terminating a human being, and other people don't feel that way. So certainly there isn't much about this that is non-controversial. I'd have to agree with that.
I'm speaking with UC Davis stem cell researcher and associate professor in the School of Medicine, Dr. Paul Knopfler. And he does have a book that's coming out this summer, June,
that's
July,
right,
sometime.
In a couple months. Yeah, it's called Stem Cells, an Insider's Guide.
So let's just get back to the process of the stem cell being created here and the possibility that that might give us for dealing with disease.
Right. So the positive aspect of this that may become less controversial is that for you or me or anybody, and using this technology, we can make very powerful kinds of stem cells that are essentially the same as we are. They would be recognized if we transplanted them into our body as ourself. And so our immune system wouldn't kill them. And so it'd be kind of like a matched bone marrow transplant, but you could make it for anybody. You wouldn't have to wait years to try to find a match. You could make a match using this therapeutic cloning, it's called.
So let me understand this. If a stem cell was created from some other donor, the DNA would be identical to that donor, and I would
Right.
have to hope that it matched. But is it possible that stem cells could be created from me, for me, if I needed
Correct.
Them?
Correct. So using this organ cloning technology, we could make embryonic stem cells that are, in essence, Beth Ruyak. And they would have some subtle differences, but at their DNA level, they would be a perfect match to you. So say we developed blood cells from them and we injected them into you, your body would not reject them. They would recognize them as you.
The interesting thing is, for fertility purposes, we bank eggs right now. If we were looking ahead to disease concerns, could you foresee us banking stem cells, our own stem cells?
Definitely. And in fact, that's a huge industry right now. It's exploding right now, is stem cell banking. You can see it all over the world.
But from the human embryo process Yes. would be the new part of it.
Right. Yeah. So you could go through that first step and make a clone, a stem cell line for yourself, and then bank that. And say in 10 years you got some specific disease, you could pull it out of the liquid nitrogen. And you'd have the perfect therapy for yourself.
But the goal here with this science, if I understand it right, is not for reproductive cloning.
Correct. The researchers in Oregon made a strong point of the fact that they're not interested in reproductive cloning at all. And in fact, they don't advocate that. And so they want to point out that what they're doing is something different, which is this therapeutic cloning, which is just making stem cells, not making a person. On the other hand, some of us in the stem cell field are concerned that there are going to be rogue people out there who will use an adaptation or adaptation of this technology to try to make actual people, and that could really be disastrous.
A quote from you, Dr. Knopfler, is, "For stem cell biology, there will be history before this result and then history after it, with the study as the dividing line." You want to expand on that?
Yeah, I think it really is that big of a deal in the stem cell field, this event we're talking about of cloning last week, because this has been something people have been trying to do for decades. And now for the first time, we've gotten it to work. And we have these two possible outcomes from this that could really transform not just the stem cell field, but the world. So we have, as we were talking earlier, possible custom therapies that would be cloned, that would be our own cells in essence. Then we have the concern that someone may clone a human being, and we don't really know how that's going to turn out, and that would be ethically, in my opinion, the wrong thing to do, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. So I think it's a very historical event.
With all the ground that we've covered, what is your lab at UC Davis working on in relation to stem cells?
So my lab is really interested in trying to make stem cell treatments safer. So we're not talking about the cloning technology, we're using other kinds of stem cells, but one of our concerns is with the power of stem cells, they have this huge power to do good. If that shifts over, it can do some bad things too, like give us cancer or throw a monkey wrench into our immune system. And so in my lab, we're trying to, in essence, make those stem cells behave better and in a safer way.
And your blog, I understand, is one of the top in the world, people engaging globally in this conversation.
Right. A few years ago, I started this blog, ipscell.com, and originally only about 10 people were visiting, and now we're getting a couple thousand visitors a day. And it's sort of the water cooler for the stem cell world, where everyone comes together, patients and scientists and people in the biotech industry who are trying to commercialize this. And we have these wonderful conversations, and I think it's a way that I've brought the stem cell field together.
So if the spectrum is promising versus frightening, this Oregon discovery for you is where on that scale?
I think it has to use the expression, it has a foot in both of those boats. It's sort of right on the fence. And that's the way it is with biomedical revolutionary technologies. Often is we couple excitement with a little bit of fear because they're so powerful, they're so new. We don't really know where it's going to lead us, but it's certainly exciting.
Thank you so much for the perspective and the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Paul Knopfler is UC Davis stem cell researcher and associate professor in the School of Medicine. We have posted a link to the blog he just mentioned and more information about last week's cloning announcement. You can find it at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.